The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And the second hour of the program is live, and we appreciate you being here. Busy first hour, a lot of conversation about the schedule release, some other things brought up. We are all open for business and taking your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And Eric is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Couple of things here. Like I was talking to your screener there, I was asking him, what is the criteria nowadays for some of these callers? And number two, you can't even grill a good steak with charcoal in California, so let's leave California there. And number three, can we start another bracket as far as the level of callers that can come on the air, like Matt? You know, he acts like when he calls, he has a mouth full of rocks. You can't understand anything he's saying. And that was just about it. I just wanted to see what you had to say.
Well, thank you. The person to blame for the callers is me. Because unlike the majority of talk show hosts, I really have great empathy for the callers. Without them, without you, we wouldn't have what we have here. A lot of people do not want to deal with callers. There are a lot of hot take artists that tape, you know, do YouTube and do other things, or even have radio or TV shows, and simply want to hear their own voice. And I'm not opposed to hearing my own voice, but I really believe in the caller, and as a result, we have some that may not add as much to the show as others. Was that fairly diplomatic, Randy?
I'd say that's a fair statement.
But ultimately, it's our call. We have eight lines, 9 or 10 lines, whatever it is, and I have a fairly good idea what people are going to say. But you're never sure. But with that call before the end of the hour, we all knew what we were going to get there. But not here. Peggy is up next in Tennessee.
Ooh. Well, hello, Dr. Paul. I'm going to try to talk like I ain't got a mouth full of rocks.
Well, it's great to hear from you, Peggy.
Hey, Dr. Paul. Where have you been? You've had a busy time, ain't you, honey? I was listening to you down there, you know, when the baseball was going on.
Yeah.
How about them balls? They're doing pretty good.
Yeah, that was that ninth inning against Clemson the other night was pretty dramatic. That's one of the greatest.
Lord have mercy, Paul.
Tennessee goes to the World Series, which I think they will. That's going to be one of the most dramatic ninth innings in modern Tennessee history.
You know, I think everybody expected so much last year and got let down. Hey, missing right here included, you know, riding on that train big time. And especially coming off of football, it was hard not to get in it, you know. But look, I mean, this year they've laid low and had to fight their way. And, boy, that was something, you know. But when you defend the callers, Paul, I love that because, you know what, everybody talks different. Look, we all, I mean, I talk, but I've been made fun of my accent my whole life. But you make all of us feel welcome. You know, insult all of us equally. You make it cut us all off sometimes. It's I think you do a fine job. But
well, Peggy, I don't want anybody to think that my eyes aren't rolling too, just like yours. But I think to me, it's what makes us different, and I'm not trying to oversell that, but it's just the way it is here. And I hear from people all over the country, from college presidents to fans that I meet, and they're always asking about the callers. They're not asking about the guests. They want to know about this person or that person, because that's what this is about fandom. This is not about being pretentious.
Yeah. I mean, you know, at first concerning little young Matt, maybe it's when I listen to him, I'll get to the point where I'm determined to try to figure out what he's saying.
Peggy, do me a big favor, okay? If you ever figure out what he's talking about, please call me.
Hey, listen, pal, let me tell you this real quick. You know that movie Nail with Jodie Foster?
Which movie?
Nail with Jodie Foster, where she was hit at the
I remember The Accused. I remember Taxi Driver, Silence of the Lambs. I don't remember that. You remember The Nail?
No, it's called Nail, N-E-L-L.
Okay, see? You know, I'm embarrassed. From being from Tennessee, I didn't pick that up.
Oh, my God. It's where she's a backwoods woman up down there close to Asheville, and they find her, and she has this own language.
Nell, okay.
And she... Nell, N-A-I-L. And Nathan and Natasha. Yeah. Anyway, I can understand this foreign language his character had on that movie.
Well, Peggy, my mistake or my cross to bear is that I'm not from East Tennessee. I'm from West Tennessee.
God.
Yeah, I only spent 4 years in East Tennessee, so I'm still working on the language.
Well, my brother-in-law's from Memphis. He worked for construction company. They remodeled Park Vista. He met my sister and was working Park Vista. And so, you know, we take him into our fold, that Memphis guy. And I loved it. Went down there for a visit. Oh, honey, Graceland, everything. Oh, wonderful, yeah.
But Peggy, you're right. Western North Carolina is no different than East Tennessee.
Oh, honey, where I was born, they call it the state line. And we actually, our house, set on the state line, you know.
And those folks up in Western Virginia and West Virginia have nothing on us either.
Oh, no, they don't, do they? And except we don't have the cold, you know, really here in East Tennessee.
No, you're right.
I think up in Jellico. But, you know,
Jellico's
it was our moonshine
cold.
Was our way of living.
Moonshine.
And now that's legal. So I was going to
I'm
call
I'm glad to know moonshine's finally legal. Peggy, we're up against the... Is moonshine is now legal in East Tennessee? Should have been legal all those years. Pat is in Georgia. Hello, Pat.
Hey, Paul. Thanks. I didn't realize that Florida hadn't been elite or relevant for 15 years. Wow.
Well, you talk to too many Florida fans. They think they're still elite.
I've got several of them here in Warner Robins. About the 8-game schedule, you and I both agree it's all about the money, and when the SEC gets it to fund a ninth game, then there's going to be a ninth game. And that's probably going to be 25.
Sure
it is. Might be 26. Why cause all the controversy and get everybody's knickers in a twit with an 8-game schedule with no divisions that's going to – I mean, they got one chance in 1,000 to getting that schedule right so that nobody can really complain.
Well, everyone is going to complain. Remember the 2020 COVID schedule. Plenty of people complained about that. And I think the SEC intended to have a 9-game schedule, but over the last couple of months, it started to collapse. And some of it was things outside of their control. They're catching the flak for it, but you know, a number of things happened, and they paused. And you've been in business, Pat. If you don't have everything perfectly aligned, you shouldn't move forward.
Well, no, absolutely. I understand the pause. One other comment I have. If Georgia's not going to play Florida every year from now on, and if Texas is not going to Oklahoma every year from now on, then you're not going to have the cocktail party, and you're not going to have the Texas State Fair.
Guaranteed, and I've spoken to the commissioner twice, Wednesday and Thursday, you're going to have Georgia, Florida. You're going to have Oklahoma, Texas. You're going to have Auburn, Alabama, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. There are certain games that are automatic. Now, there are certain games that maybe don't end up on the schedule. Georgia, you know, who are Georgia's big rivals? Florida, Tennessee, Auburn. I think Auburn will be preserved because that's a rivalry really unlike almost any other in the SEC. Georgia, South Carolina may not make it. I don't know. I have no idea what the schedule is going to look like. Someone's going to lose here, but it won't be the games that you and I look at the calendar in January and February and start planning our year around. Those games are going to remain. Randy is in Florida. Hello, Randy.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Okay, I want to tell you something real quick. I go to Sundays, Wednesday, and Friday. A guy that he had a phone, and he had the other guy take a picture of him. And he had a picture of him with Castleton on the basketball, the center of 40 Davis. And that was very interesting. And it was Castleton because I've seen it right on his phone. So that's all I wanted to tell you, and go Gators.
We will head to the break. More to come. We've had a busy show. A couple of guests started us off. We are not done there yet either. Speaking of Florida, we'll go down to Gainesville a little bit later on. Talk to Pat Dooley. A couple of guests coming in this hour as well.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, we're back. Guest to come here shortly. James is up next in Alabama. Hello, James.
How are we going, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you for checking in.
I want to know what your real feelings is, because you kind of like squeamed a little bit when you was giving your answer about the California with the politics and stuff that's going on right now.
Is there anything specific you were curious about?
The MIL.
Well, what I was referring to was this new proposal in California that would, I guess the best way to put it would be liberalize the NIL law out there. What do you think about that?
I think it's going to completely change the sport of college football.
Okay.
The whole outlook.
And would you enlighten us on how?
I'll be honest with you, because kids are going to be playing for money, not playing for pride.
And James, right now, what do you think is going on in Alabama, Auburn, Florida, Georgia, LSU?
I think it's going. I think it's done gone crazy all the way over the state.
Yeah. I think you're right, James. We agree. We completely agree. But I don't think it's that big a deal. I think a couple of years ago when this started, we all thought it would ruin the sport. I haven't seen it being ruined yet. I am just as excited about this coming season as I was last year, the year before, before NIL. I wonder, the whole pride thing is interesting, but how far back do you have to go in college athletics to see when players simply played for pride? There's been an angle forever, whether it's about enhancing their NFL stock. Playing for pride is a great term, but
it sounds good.
How far back do we have to go? 50 years?
Further.
More?
Yes.
I just don't believe that anymore. I think once the money started coming into college athletics, primarily 40 years ago when the Supreme Court decision shattered the lock that the NCAA had on the sport, it's been about the money. Thank you for the call, though. Appreciate it. Very interesting, by the way. Kay is up next. Hello, Kay. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We are doing great. Thank you for checking in.
Here's my question. I've been listening about the talking about the schedules, and since Georgia is the be-all, end-all, why aren't they getting some of this meat in the SEC? If they're that good, show us how good you are, unless the SEC wants to make sure Georgia gets the three-peat.
Kay, is that what you think?
I just think it's real interesting that everybody else, Alabama, LSU, all these other teams have got really tough schedules, and Georgia doesn't appear to be getting one because the guest that was talking about this, he wasn't going over Georgia's schedule. So they must have got the creamy puffs.
Well, here let's talk about Georgia's SEC schedule. At Auburn, that's usually a tough game. Kentucky at home, at Vanderbilt, usually – could be a tough game. Florida, always a traditional game. And then you have Missouri, Ole Miss, at Tennessee. Hard to find a tougher game than that. And then the non-conference games. So, I mean, all the SEC has anything to do with is the SEC schedule. The non-conference games are up to the individual schools. Now, Georgia, it's a fact that Georgia had a game scheduled at Norman, Oklahoma this year, and because of the inclusion of Texas and Oklahoma, that game had to be scrapped. So I don't really think, and by the way, I think the schedule was probably formulated many years ago. Georgia plays the same schools it always has played. Their divisional crossover game is Auburn, and then they rotate all the other games on and off the schedule.
But the back when there were two divisions,
there will still be two divisions this year.
Okay, all right. So there'll be East and West this year.
Yes, one more year of that.
Okay, and so where are they putting the two teams that are being added?
Well, there's not going to be divisions starting next year.
Okay, we're adding the teams this year, though, right?
No. We are adding.
No.
We are adding them in 2024.
I see. Okay, and that makes sense.
So you still think Georgia got an easy? You still think Georgia's schedule is easy?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Well, Vanderbilt.
Now,
my
question is this, though. Okay, why would the SEC try to help Georgia do anything, considering this schedule was probably on the books for while Alabama was dominating the SEC?
Well, I thought that this schedule that they had to put it together to get the eight teams to because of all this other hoopla stuff. I thought
we're talking about the schedule for next year. But anyway, thanks for the call. I think you're a little confused. Have you safe? It sounded like an Alabama fan there who's thinks Georgia. I don't know how Georgia got this. I mean, I know how Georgia got the non-conference schedule. They're playing a Power 5 from the ACC in Georgia Tech. A pathetic Power 5, but they're playing one. Georgia, the schedules are rotated. I mean, there's a method to that madness. Now, it's over after this year. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know where all this Georgia's catching a break. I mean, how sensible that really is. I think it's quite a lot of sour grapes myself. Susie is up next.
Oh, God, I'm laughing, Paul. Power 5 Georgia Tech. Thank you for taking my call today. I'm actually up in Michigan for the summer.
Oh,
just
great.
Got here today and walking. But, all right, the caller's about...
Are you in the UP or somewhere else?
No, I'm outside Ann Arbor.
Oh, okay.
Staying with Joe. Yeah, we'll go up to the UP over the 4th of July, though.
Okay.
Yeah. So that'll be
interesting.
I'm talking like a
Michigander, which I'm not.
Oh, am I talking like, yeah, a Youper. I'm not a Youper. I'm, you know, under the bridge. So we're the trolls down here.
Okay.
The people calling, like, you know, I know it was Jim that called, was it last Friday, and he was all over all the boring calls at the beginning, and then at the end when Legend called, and all of a sudden everything got fun and stuff like that, and he was like, that's what he wants, you know, he likes all that, you know, you're an idiot, and slam you in the face type calls. And then those of us that call other, what makes you so unique? And these people talking to you about your listeners, and why do we have this listener and why we have that? I want to equate it to my teaching. You're a teacher. You're like a teacher. Your classroom are all of us calling. And, you know, and you allow us to call and talk about, and we feel safe when we call you. You know, I could be boring, but I still feel safe when I call you. When I started my eighth grade classrooms every year, the first thing I talked about was how everyone in my classroom should feel free to raise their hand. Nothing they're going to say, someone's going to come back and say you're stupid, or she just said that, although I'd like to say that many times, you know, I just said that. But I said, you feel you're free in here, and no one that can live up to that, then, you know, you and I are going to have a problem. But so you're like that with your callers. I mean, yeah, there's the match. There's BAJ. Is it AJ in Canada? Who, I'd like someone to decipher what he's saying to me, because I really try to understand him other than how much he loves you, you know, and tells you that. But I want to thank you for being, allowing us to be your classroom and to call.
Well,
and
Susie,
I think
Susie,
every
I've always,
call-
I've always wanted to teach. So this is the only route I have, because I'm not qualified to do anything other than this. But thank you so much for the call. I hope you enjoy your summer in Michigan, and the class will continue right after this.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back, and we're trying to figure this thing out. It never ends. ACC a couple weeks ago. Now, maybe the Big 12 continues. Shahan J. Raja joins us. Always great to check in with a national college writer for CBS Sports. Shahan, thank you. Good afternoon. And tell us all about the latest from the Big 12. Are they going to get larger? Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you as always for having me. You know, at this point, I think that the Big 12, they met last week. They got all their athletic directors together. And from what Brett Yormark said, they have a plan now. They have an idea of exactly what they're looking for. They have an idea of what exactly would kind of cause them to make that change or make that decision to add to the conference. So I think a lot of it ultimately is going to depend on what happens with the Pac-12. Obviously, they're in the midst of negotiating a television contract right now. They don't have one past 2024. And, people in the conference are starting to get antsy. Obviously, we've heard the report that Colorado is starting to have some conversations with other people. We've heard that Arizona potentially is having conversations. But I do think that, you know, everybody's kind of just sitting and waiting for one of these schools to make a decision to move on, whether it is Colorado, whether it is Washington or Oregon convincing the Big Ten potentially to let them in. So everybody's kind of in a little bit of a cold war right now, but I do think that the Big 12 is prepared whenever the moment is right to strike.
Shahan, on this report about not only Colorado but Arizona, I realize everyone's entitled to have a report. Whether it's true or not, we all tend to react. But does this make any sense, or is it really more of an indicator of how fragile the Pac-12 is right now?
Yeah, I think that's the big piece of it, right? Because if it's only a couple million dollars difference, right, I don't think that these Pac-12 schools want to leave. I think that in an ideal world, the 10 remaining schools in the Pac-12 would rather remain members of the Pac-12 conference. But if the money becomes so vast that it becomes a huge issue, even between the Big 12 and ACC and then the Pac-12 kind of trailing behind, I think that's where we start to run into existential problems. You go look back 10, 15 years at the creation of the Pac-12 network, and I think that it's absolutely clear that, from a financial perspective, it did all right, but from a viewership perspective, it's been a massive issue. This is still a network that most of the country isn't even able to get at this point. And I think that that the schools are very aware of the fact that being relegated to bad time slots, being relegated to networks that people can't see very easily, I think that they know the impact it can have on their brand. So, I think that this is fundamentally more about where the Pac-12 is at than because the Big 12 or ACC or anyone else is making this incredible case. But at this point, again, it's only a year until the Pac-12 contract does run out, and at this point, there is no deal.
Just trying to sort it all out, it would seem of those two schools, Colorado is a really hot school after being ice cold, appropriate for Boulder for all these years. Is Dion enough to have changed the perspective and the reputation of this school, who frankly, a year ago, nobody would have wanted to deal with?
Well, it's a great question. And I think that there's two pieces to this. First of all, when you look at Colorado, it's not just hiring Deion Sanders, but I think that it's the continuing investment in big time football. Obviously, we see the salary that Deion Sanders has paid, which is about double what Carl Durrell made as the previous head coach over there. But then you also hear about some of the promises about facilities. You see the investment in NIL. One coach truly is not enough to change what a program is, especially before he's ever coached a game. But I think that what people are kind of banking on a little more is that long-term investment and the promises in a lot of ways that have been made to Deion Sanders and that they might come through. And so I think the other piece of this is, from the beginning, especially between the Big 12 and the Pac-12, one of the reasons why things have been, I guess, so contentious in the past couple of years is because this is a game of brinksmanship to some extent. It is, at one point, the Pac-12 could have ended the Big 12. There were schools like Texas Tech that were trying to appeal to the Pac-12, trying to get them to take them whenever Texas and Oklahoma decided to leave. Well, now the Big 12 all of a sudden potentially has an upper hand. So I think that a lot of people in the Big 12 and in the Big 12 footprint are kind of wondering if we have an opportunity to kind of end this war, to win this battle, should we take the opportunity to do it? And certainly if Colorado or Arizona or Arizona State or Utah, if any of those schools were to move on, I think that that would be potentially a death knell for the Pac-12.
Just for example, if they lost two more, that would be a total of four. What would George Kliavkoff have in his bag of tricks, or would he be out of them based on what you just alluded to?
Well, I think that there's a couple pieces to this. One, you know, there are people in Big 12 country that believe that if they get one of the schools to defect out of the four corner schools, that all four will. But, you know, part of this does depend on whether the Big Ten at that point would be willing to take Washington and or Oregon, because they are the two most valuable brands left on the board in the Western United States. The other part of this, too, is, you know, if one school defects and the others don't follow, I think that George Kliavkoff can probably withstand that. You know, San Diego State is a school that sure seems like it's going to be joining the Pac-12 at some point in the next few months or the next year, essentially when a television contract is done. So that gets them back into Southern California. That's a big-time athletic brand. Obviously, they made a Final Four this year. They've been in the 10-11-12 win range in previous years. And so I think that that would potentially buy them some time. They've investigated SMU. They've investigated Boise State. They've investigated UNLV and Colorado State. So I do think that this conference would have the ability to still survive potentially a defection or two. But if you do start to get into a situation where it is four, if you do start to get into a situation where it's six, that's when things potentially become a huge issue. And to reiterate, I think that all 10 schools that are members of the Pac-12 right now would rather remain members of the Pac-12 because of the geography, because of the history, then break off into other places. But if they don't see a future forward in Big Ten college athletics, that's when you start to really ask a lot of questions.
Great stuff, as always, from Shahan. Many thanks. Be well. I wish that I'm hoping this is the last time I ever ask you that question. I know it won't be. Come back soon. Thank you very much. As we head to the break a little bit later, we'll talk to Pat Dooley. We've already covered so much of the SEC scheduling conundrum. We're a week and 2 days away from that. Your phone calls around the corner.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back. Monday, Jim is up next in Tuscaloosa.
Susie is always kind of an interesting call to me. She brings something, and you, if you can hear her, sometimes you can't hear her, but I heard a little bit. I might have need some definition of what she said. But this, she said something about talking about boring callers, and then when things happen Saturday – let me tell you something, Paul. I've gotten a lot of people telling me, I'm telling you, a lot of people saying, man, that was the old Feinbaum show, those 15 or 20 minutes where Larry started off with hilarious stuff that we could all have good takes on. And then and everybody's commenting about how great a call Spoil had, you know, and every, who else? There was more than that. It was Spoil and me and Larry and all came from the beat-down city of the culinary, whatever you call the guy.
He's going Jim, good it was 2007 all over again. And that's
actually 2003 or 4, Paul.
You're right. This is while we were still at the news talk station before we went
exactly.
to all sports.
That was, it was Hot City. And I'm going to tell you something. Right. You call it Vikings or whatever. I've had many – Jeff told me this, but I've had many people say, man, when you and Feinbaum get together – it's radio gold. That's what I mean. I'm not bragging. I want to know, does any of the callers tell you that?
Well, I know it. I don't need them to tell me.
Well, I know it too. You know it, and I know. Yeah. There's a chemistry. There's always been a chemistry when we're on the same page.
Jim, I was looking something up today. I was preparing a speech, and I got the book out, page 54. And I forgot. Did you know that you're quoted earlier in the book where it's like before you're going into like a chapter – and
I remember that.
It talks about, you know, Feinbaum is really good. And it says, and I know what
I know
it is because I
know
am. Jim from Tuscaloosa.
I am. I said, I know he is because I am too.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I must have missed that the first time I read
it. I saw that the other day. I actually saw that, and I think I missed it too until about a week ago. I saw that too, and I thought, wow, I didn't remember. That was one of the quotes that that whoever wrote the book with you probably stuck in there on before another chapter started.
Yeah, he's. I mean, again, that's the kind of thing that I missed. So I'm glad I caught that.
I did too. I promise you, I did not remember that until about a week ago when I opened the book and went back to page 54. And then it's way, but yeah, that's before. It's about two or three chapters before page 54 where that said in the whatever you call that before the another chapter starts. You know, and I thought, wow, that sounds like me telling Feinbaum. Feinbaum's good. I ought to know I'm good too.
Confidence. I like it. Good old
days.
Well,
I've always been confident. You know I'm confident, Paul, because like you said, it ain't brag. If you can do it, I can do it.
No.
I've been doing it. I've done it. I bought it. But I ain't the best. I mean, you know, there's always somebody out there back to Susie, though. She always has a kind of an interesting call, and I couldn't really understand where she was going, but she kind of was – what point was she making – in regard to what she said about me talking about boring callers, and then it got hot, and I liked that. Is that basically what she was saying?
Well, I think what she was essentially saying is she was thanking the show for giving people the voice, and even though everybody, I think she was talking about Matt from San Antonio.
Yeah.
I hate to pick out one guy, but I think he is now the poster child for bad calls.
Well, he is. He really is, and that's just a fact. But you know what? I can even give Legion or Legend a kudo because he said before, and I agree with him, he said, look, people, Paul Feinbaum gave us all a voice, and that's what we owe to Paul Feinbaum. And he's right about that. I don't get on the show. I don't become an icon in Rome like I am if you don't talk to me.
Well, which means I made a couple of good decisions early on, Jim.
Well, you really did. You know, but you know what's good and what's not good in regard to radio and ball and stuff like that. And yeah, I've always given you credit for that. But I wish you could get that. Jeff reminded me how you got silent the other day when I brought up a couple of guys that used to be on the show that we all love, that most of us love, but the suits don't love them. And he said, Feinbaum had nothing to say. I said, yeah, that was dead silence for a minute, wasn't it? And I know you know what I'm referring to, or who I'm referring to.
Well, I mean, yeah, I would say there are a couple of names I might recognize.
Oh, I can't believe it. That is sad. I mean, would you admit at least it's sad?
Yeah, I've never there's nothing in my DNA that would ever want restrictions put on anything. That's really the philosophy that I took into my sports writing career and what I brought over here.
Right. And I'm going to tell you again, I've said it before, it needs saying again, I get excited and used to always get, and my sister would say, tell me whenever you hear about Danny Sheridan being on the Feinbaum show. I mean, people got excited.
I think Sheridan is the greatest loss because Sheridan brought humor and charm, but he also brought insight into the game.
Yeah.
The rest of them, I think we've survived fairly well without. But Sheridan was a big loss. I would agree with you.
No doubt about it. He was Mr. Entertainment. What I would absolutely call him, Mr. Entertainment.
There was once a time when Sheridan would go back and forth with callers, and that was, I mean, we've had a couple of moments like that, but he There was one guy that just
One certain caller. He called the
What was that guy's name?
CR. He
was from.
He called him the CR.
Yeah, I'm struggling to remember the guy's name. And Danny, I don't know if this guy's alive or not, but Danny killed. I mean, he flattened this guy.
He wanted to step on him, and he told me, he said, "Don't call what the name is. Just say CR. Everybody don't know what you're talking about."
This guy was a big Auburn fan, and I wish I could remember
his
name.
Right.
But
I don't blame Danny. The guy was just you're talking about obnoxious, man.
He even
that guy
got
was
me pure to use a word on the air that I would get bleeped for.
I don't remember that, but you didn't like him either, obviously.
Sheridan was going back and forth, and I just flat out said we need to get rid of that blankety blank, and everybody looked at me because I had never used that word on the show, and I haven't used it since.
That wasn't on this nation. That wasn't on ESPN, was it?
No, that was back at Jocks. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.